Thank you so much, Rod. That was a wonderful, inspiring story of Brendan's life. And expect that there will be this is the time where people can ask questions. It may easily expect there's many questions prompted by what Rod had to share. So if you want to ask a question, just unmute yourself and speak, and we'll see how it all goes. And we'll run this for a few minutes and see how it pans out. So I'll just be quiet for a while, and we'll wait for the questions to come in.
This is Lynn Burt. I have a question, Rod. Just wondering if you're going to write a book next year.
Oh, I think there's lots of books on the market. A few people have suggested that, but we'll see.
It's a real privilege to hear about Brendan, and I think you would translate that into a written book really beautifully.
Right.
Well, if you want my opinion, which you may not.
No, thank you for that lovely encouragement. Ask away. I'm happy there's lots of things I didn't cover about some of the theological issues of suffering, etc., but whatever's on your mind, feel free to ask.
Rod, when you first shared about Brendan's shouting out a very, very passionate and strong amen, yep. I might have missed a word or two, but how old was Brendan then? That was the first time you realised he had...
Yeah, he would have been 15 months, 16 months, something like that.
At the age of 16 months.
Yeah.
16-month-old child shouts.
And he was literally sort of Biafran. His vomiting was so extraordinary. I mean, we literally sort of felt like our life had just hit a brick wall because we'd be up through the night and he'd just be continuing to vomit. Here he is on oxygen. And that's why it was so impactful. And he's anticipating the end of this prayer, and then he bellows it out. I mean, you've got to say this is the age of miracles. I mean, there was no way humanly that you could expect that to happen.
Rod, you were saying you had a little girl, Stephanie, who was about to start school. How did that affect her, and how did she cope with it all?
Yep, well, that's a big question. So let me start from the general. And in Zoom land out there, everyone's life will be touched by the fallenness of the world in one way or another. When there's significant suffering, significant trauma, one way to think of it is like a pebble that gets dropped in a pond, and you remember what happens? What happens? The little waves start to move out. And so it would be naive and not to recognize that when there is intense suffering over a prolonged period of time, it has a great impact. It impacts the immediate family, the extended family, it impacts broader relationships. And so there's been impact, but I mean, for Stephanie, she was sort of 6 years of age and confronted by a house that was really like a hospital. But she went on and has had a very successful nursing career, and in fact has been responsible for a major department at the Royal Children's Hospital, looking after kids who've got multiple issues needing high-level care located in their homes. And I'd often say, wow, Stephanie, like, you've seen so much trauma in the house. Like, you know, go and get a job in an ice cream factory. But I think it's made her a great nurse. But we don't want to just gloss over these things. You can have rock-solid faith, but the reality, the sufferings of life impact. So there's trauma and there's emotional impact when there's deep suffering, and especially when you see it in kids. I could give you 3 hours, but I'll leave that as a one-minute answer.
Thank you.
Rod, Peter here.
Hi, Pete.
Hi there. This is a bit of a Dorothy Dixer, so talk to us a bit about praying for healing and your understanding of praying for Brendan and having others pray for him, and whether you saw any sort of healing or not, and ultimately he wasn't healed in any major way. So just talk to us about that.
Okay. So think of a setup where I've come to faith a short time before Brendan's born, and I was brought up in quite a very conservative, without throwing too many technical words around, cessationist Christian household that certainly would not have held to a view of the Lord continuing to do healing and miracles today. So when I either came back to faith or my faith was renewed, that would have still been very much in my DNA. That's what I'd grown up with. But as the years went by and as I rolled my sleeves up and got into the Word, I saw absolutely no basis for that. The Lord's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he still continues to work in healing and miracles. Cheryl and I never had a conviction, and we grew in our faith through those years. In a situation like Brendan, I often say to people, there's only two directions. You either completely run to the Lord with a lot of perhaps questions that are not answered, but you just simply rest in him, or you bring up sort of that old chestnut, if God's powerful, he's all loving, look at this mess, I don't want anything to do with him. It's kind of extreme suffering. It's going to take people down either of those paths. So we grew in the Lord in God's grace. But even in that growing, and I don't know whether it was disbelief, I don't think so, we never came to a view in our mind that the Lord was going to physically resurrect him in this life. But did we actually see miracles of healing in Brendan's life? Absolutely. If I could take you back to Brisbane, and when Brendan was often critically ill up there and at the Mater Hospital, and when he was, he was probably about 8 or 9 years of age, the very experienced, highly regarded thoracic consultant effectively said, without quite saying the words, you need to prepare yourselves, I cannot see Brendan getting to 13 years of age. You can imagine a body that has never been able to stand up. The lungs are compressed. His lungs were severely damaged through that acute period in the pregnancy. In fact, his actual condition was probably about 22 weeks. His lungs were terrible, but he actually got to 27 years of life. And you go, that's actually miraculous. That is, the Lord had ministry to do through Brendan. So I look at his life and go, could the Lord have completely and totally healed him? Yes, absolutely. Square brackets. Do I know of many cases where extreme cerebral palsy has been healed in the modern era? No, I don't. Interestingly, I actually know of way more cases of the dead being raised than cerebral palsy. So I can't quite answer that. But I know that there was healing in his body. It was the Lord's gracious provision that got him to 27 years of age. And then, of course, his healing being complete as he went home. So over the years, despite that suffering, my conviction on the present healing day ministry of Jesus has grown and grown and grown. There are lots of questions. We don't see it worked out exactly the same way as Jesus, but Jesus is ministering as a sinless man full of the Spirit. But I've probably become evangelical about the gifts of the Spirit and healing ministry, whether that's emotional or physical or spiritual, notwithstanding that suffering. So another really big question. Thank you, Reverend Peter, for that Dorothy Dix. We'll just sort of leave that out there as a little morsel if people want to follow up some other time. Does that satisfy you, my ex-supervisor?
Rod, John and Jan Shattuck here.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. I often sat next to him in church with Brendan, and we had a wonderful conversation by smiles and various and touch. When you said he said amen on that one occasion, did he say amen at other times?
Yeah, well? No, that's the interesting thing. No. And it was at a time when his body was just so, so broken. Mm. It was so malnourished. But it was that one time. So I gave you some examples of lots of other things, which were these yelps and yells and whatever. But the clarity of that word, amen, was amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think looking back on it, was really as I was thinking about this talk today, that sense came to me more than it has in the past, that it was a prophetic declaration. So it's like the Spirit enabled him to speak out a word, which then was not continued to repeat. It's not as if, okay, well, if he said amen in that state, why wasn't he speaking more? This was clearly, as I look back on it, the Spirit of God moving miraculously within him, saying, so let it be. It's like, bring it on. And that really became this declaration then for the rest of his earthly life. Mm. I pretend to have answers for these difficult questions. I don't really.
Hi, Rod. My name's Dale Ferry.
Hi, Dale.
And, yeah, thanks for the invite and sharing your story there. We had a son who was 15 and he died last year. So there's a lot of similarities, a lot of grief. I can understand your grief. Very hard thing to deal with. So I can relate to exactly what you went through.
Well, thank you for sharing. I think the Spirit kept drawing me to you as I was looking out there in my view in Zoom land. So thank you for sharing that, and bless you in your own journey.
Thanks, Rod. Thank you.
Looks like we're nearly there, Dr. Phil.
I'll do have Philip here again. Rod, do have one more question perhaps. You must have considered Brendan could easily have died in childbirth or been stillborn or died as a very young infant and you wouldn't have experienced his life. Now, do you want to speak to how God had an incredible plan for Brendan to live his life and live his life to the full and be a witness to everyone who knew him? My question is, have you considered that possibility, Brendan could have died as a very young person, but he didn't, and God's purpose through that?
Oh, yeah, I mean, well, at one level, all of our lives are miracles of the Lord. I mean, it's his breath of life that's breathed into us. In God's grace, we never spend our life agonizing over the what-if questions. That wasn't because we were such spiritual giants, but I can honestly say neither I nor Cheryl did that. Probably as the years have gone on and then with Cheryl's own suffering, I've tried to read and think a lot about suffering in a general sense and specifically how that relates with the charismata and the gifts of healing. But it would have been very unhelpful, perhaps destructive in our lives if we're asking that question. It was just simply, Lord, you blessed us with Brendan. There's extraordinary pain in this, but he just is this bundle of joy and life and love. Mm. He blesses everyone he goes. I never thought he'd get to 27 years of age. Never thought that. I would have expected, given his health, perhaps he would have gone home to the Lord in his teens. So that surprised me, the length of his life. But it was God's grace that we didn't spend our time arguing with the God of heaven and earth.
Time perhaps for one more question to keep
Remembering Brendan and his wicked sense of humour.
Yes.
The awareness of how much life and boyishness there was in him was just beautiful. And that one word that really set him off in absolute hoots of laughter that we learnt not to say.
Yes, and Libby, of course, you've really exposed that I have presented Brendan in the most angelic light. Okay? Brendan McArdle needed the cross like everyone else, okay? And he did have a wicked little sense of humour. And that little word, which, of course, we won't use because we're in righteous St. Elf's Zoom land, it didn't matter what setting he was in. If that word was used, he'd bring the house down. So, yes, you've called me to attention. I have promoted him just marginally short of sinless perfection. He wasn't quite there.
He is now.
He certainly is now.
Thanks, Rod.
Yeah, bless you, Libby.
Rod, Ginny here.
Hello, Ginny. Here's the Brendan prayer.
I used to love praying with him, and if anything, for me, he illustrated how much we are spirit, soul and body, because his spirit responded so strongly despite the body. And I think because we, most of us have such normal bodies, that gets overshadowed, and Brendan typified it every time. I mean, he only was around the Holy Spirit and this would come out with such a strong response. Yeah. But I was thinking, outside of Brendan, if you hadn't had Brendan, how much did he change your theology, having him? It's hard to imagine without it, him, your life without. But how do you think he changed your theology? Now, that's a huge question.
Yeah.
But there's a difference in having an abstract theology and then living stuff through it.
I mean, the doctrine of healing tragically continues to raise in the Western world, not elsewhere, as a point of great controversy, which is pretty bizarre the more you think about it. It's like, yes, well, of course, God wants everyone to be sick. But it really caused me to sharpen what does the Bible say about healing?
Yeah.
And what are you going to, as a pastor, what are you going to do about that when you have a conviction in your heart to teach on it, when you have this example, whether Cheryl or Brendan, your own family? As some people have actually said over the years, well, actually, in some ways, it actually gives you a right to speak on it.
Okay? Yes.
I think the main impact of Brendan would be one of, I'm not sure any of us get to a point of 100% reliance on the Lord, but such a traumatic situation, right? I mean, remember in my secular, unredeemed life, the God of my life was career. I think it's objective to say I'd been very successful in corporate life. Well, that's not really the way of the cross. It's not the way of a disciple. It's one of the first will be last and the last will be first, and being humble before the Lord. And so I think a Brendan-type situation, not that the Lord brought it in to cause that,
mm-mm,
but as a result of Brendan, it makes your reliance on him so much greater, because you won't be able to sort the stuff out in your own strength.
Mm.
Does that go somewhere to answering?
That's very true. You're forced forward like that, aren't you, into the Lord's arms, and you can't have neat theological answers.
And then I think maybe the other thing that came to my mind when you asked that, and my theology has developed on this, it wasn't formed at the time I was at St. Elf's, which is not pretending it is now. But when Ginny talks about us being spirit, soul and man, which is so much more revealed to us in the new compared to the old. In the old, spirit and soul is really kind of similar, but it's quite marked. And you see that in 1 Thessalonians 5, spirit, soul and body. I think that's probably become one of the distinctives in my teaching. It's like you're a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And as a young Christian, I used to go, I don't really understand this. I don't want to be critical, but like I know these people. Like they kind of act in ways that are no more righteous than the people out in the world. And that used to bother me because I'd go, but the Bible's authoritative. What do you mean it's when new creation's in Christ? It's because I was not understanding that the spirit has become alive. The spirit is 100% connected to the Holy Spirit, but the soul, the mind, the will, the emotions. I can feel the Sunday message coming on. The mind, the will, and the emotions, that's what actually needs to be transformed. And that's what Scripture speaks about in that path of sanctification and then ultimately the resurrection of the body and the body. So as I've delved into that, that aspect of spirit is alive, let your spirit man be the thing that drives your soulish life, and then your soulish life driving your physical reactions, that's become very dear to me. Mm. I think it's open Scripture up, whereas previously I go, I don't really understand this. Like, I trust you that we're new creations in Christ, but it sure doesn't look like it.
No, I totally agree with you. And I think that was one of the great things about being around Brendan, was to feel this really alive spirit, even though the body was completely, if you like, decaying,
yeah,
and tarnished. And you couldn't really connect with the person because he couldn't articulate the feelings.
Yeah.
But the spirit was massively alive.
Absolutely.
And so that was one of the huge blessings of being around Brendan, was to be able to see, if you like, or feel his spirit.
And so the Lord used you, Jenny, very powerfully in that. And as I think I've privately said to you, you were so much more charismatic than I was in those years at St. Elf's. Not that it's a competition, no, but it was. But you've actually been a really significant input into my own life, as I used to stand there and watch that interaction between you and Brendan, and especially when you'd pray in tongues.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a little bit unorthodox. You never got them interpreted, but, you know.
No, that's all right. We can discuss that anon and not in this setting, Rod, all right?
That's okay.
We'll have it over coffee sometime.
All right.
Thanks. Really enjoyed hearing more about the fullness of Brendan's life and his impact, because it's huge. But it's been a long, hard haul for you. So one final question was, how did you keep yourself refreshed in the Lord through the journey?
I think the you have to roll your sleeves up. I mean, you have to be purposeful about it. You have to spend conscious time with him. You can't play fast and loose with Scripture and say, oh yes, it's kind of authoritative, right? But all this stuff about miracles and prophecy and tongues, I mean, this is all kind of garbage. I mean, it's kind of wacky people who get into that. You've got to go, no, if this is the word of God, and then start thinking about, well, why is it that so many people in the West respond to it? That helps you thinking back through church history as to what's happened with the Enlightenment. I think worship and worship music has been really important in my life. So after Cheryl's passing, and they were very sort of difficult years with Cheryl being so sick and with Brendan, being actively involved in the church worship band, notwithstanding being the senior pastor, was really significant. I mean, ministry is challenging, as your hubby knows.
Mm.
And so I've had to be disciplined in, if you think of it as a barrel, in trying each day, maybe not each day looking at a barrel, but going, where am I in the barrel? Where are the resources? If it's low, take some time out. What is it that replenishes me? What are some of the outflows that you can turn off? Right. So if you've got relationships that are just draining and you've got a Brendan type situation, you better turn the valve in a little bit. But there are going to be outflows in your life like a Brendan that you can't turn the tap off. And so I've tried to consciously go, what are the things that bring nourishment into it? But I don't want to pretend that this is easy, but I think I can say objectively that the Lord's given me a sensitivity as to, hey, that level's getting low. Whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, you need to take a corrective step on it.
Yeah, that's very helpful, Rod. I really like that, because that actually applies to all of us, especially for some in COVID or whatever the difficulty is. It doesn't have to be a Brendan, but
no. That
sure is one very long, very hard one that's a constant. But I think a lot of us have got difficulties in some ways. And so that reminder of, you know, cut down on what's draining and replenish, well, however you replenish yourself with the Lord. I mean, I resonate with your worship one, you know, putting on a YouTube and singing is huge, but whatever way we do it, to do that, Yeah, thanks, Rod. Really appreciate it.
And you just stimulated me. I know the time's running short. But one of the things that really helped me in the years following St. Elves was embracing a theology, not just in words but in practice, that the Lord is always speaking to us. So I didn't have any issue about read scripture, that's the objective, authoritative way, and that's the principal way that the Lord speaks. But Cheryl, probably before I, had quite a dynamic relationship out walking and just talking to the Lord. And I think as the years have gone by, if I was to try and assess my own spiritual life, that's what's excited me. It's like, wow, like the God of heaven and earth who speaks and brings things into existence. And I don't always hear correctly. You know, 1 Corinthians, we hear in part, we prophesy in part. But I tell you what, as the years have gone on, I pray to the Lord, get my strike rate up so I hear you more accurately. And it's just the most beautiful thing that the living God has that dynamic interaction with us. And I think that has really been an ignition in my spiritual life.
Yeah. Anyway. Amen. That's great. Thanks, Rob. Bye.